This is an interview with Mrs. Amber Jenkins for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program, The Home Fronts During World War II, by Rebecca Smith at 31 Marion Street, Buchanan, West Virginia, on November 9, 1991 at 2 o'clock p.m. Okay, Mrs. Jenkins, could you give me a little bit of background about your life?
Well, let's see. I was born in Akron, raised in Lakewood, Ohio. Spent all my summers in West Virginia, except a couple I spent in Canada.
Okay.
So West Virginia's home. And let's see, I graduated from Florida High School and got married. And I was 19 when the war broke out.
Okay. Where in Florida did you graduate from?
Fort Pierce.
Fort Pierce. Okay. And what did your father do?
My father was with a company. He traveled printing ink for magazines, colored inks.
Okay.
Sigma Norman Ink Company out of New York. And as I said, I was raised in Lakewood. And then he died when I was 15, and we moved to West Virginia.
Were you an only child?
Mm-hmm. Only child.
Okay. Did your mother work?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, you were raised during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Right, do you remember anything about the, is there anything about the Depression that you can tell me that you remember?
Well, fortunately it didn't affect us, but it did affect people we knew, other friends.
Mm-hmm.
That, a lot of people lost their homes, and a lot of people were out of work. And I remember when I was a, when I was a kid, we would go downtown in Cleveland, and there'd be somebody on the corner selling little wooden toys,
mm-hmm.
of which I have a couple, and apples, and people really had a hard time of it. But, you know, as a kid, you don't really, it doesn't really bother you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what's going on. They always protect you, I guess.
Okay. You said you were married at 19.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in West Virginia at the time?
No, I was in Florida.
Okay.
And then my husband went to work for Silas Mason, Mason Hanger Company.
Okay.
Which is the second oldest engineering and construction company in the United States.
Okay.
And he was sent to Minden, Louisiana, which is, the ordnance plant was between Minden and Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there 3.5 years.
Okay.
And I worked at Louisiana Ordnance Plant for approximately a year and a half, 2 years. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
And I expect there were between 8,000 and 10,000 working there at the time during the war.
Okay, now what was this ordnance plant?
Well, they made 75 millimeter shells and 80 millimeter mortar shells, landmines, hand grenades, things of that sort. I worked with inspection department.
Okay, what exactly did you do?
Well, I inspected.
What were you looking for?
Well, yeah, I did. I looked for rejects, and some part of my job was the fuses, and then in other departments, it was to check the hand grenades,
mm-hmm.
before they were put in a carton and sent down a conveyor belt.
So you're checking for defective fuses?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would make them defective?
Well, if they didn't fit under the gauge correctly, if they were too high or too low, or if the handles weren't right on the hand grenades, something that didn't match too well. You kept a report. And at the end of the day, you turned in how many you inspected and how many rejects you had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a madhouse, is what,
was it?
What it was. Yes.
Now, when did you get this job?
In August of 43.
Okay.
I do remember that.
We went to war in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any conversations the people had concerning either Germany or Japan before the United States entered the war?
No, not really. I didn't pay too much attention to what was going on at that time. I really didn't. I guess people thought we were going to be in war sooner or later, but I was too busy having a lot of fun, and I really didn't worry.
Okay.
Then, when I realized what it was going to be.
Okay, you were already married at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Were you working then?
No.
Okay, you just staying home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about December 7th, 1941?
Well, yes, I remember that.
Okay,
everybody
tell me
does,
about,
I guess.
Tell me about that day.
Oh, well, that was quite a shock.
Where were you?
I was in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it was on Sunday, and I think everybody was in shock, practically. But,
how did you hear the news?
On the radio.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what your reaction was?
No, just sort of disbelief.
Uh-huh. What was the general talk that day? You must have surely talked about this.
Well, yes, I suppose we did. I suppose people were talking about joining and volunteering for different things. And other than that, I really don't remember.
What about your husband?
Well, he was already going to be transferred to Louisiana with his company.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we'd be going there.
Okay.
And which we did. In the spring.
Now the company he worked for was the Mason Hanger Engineering Company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exactly what did he do?
He had charge of tool and die in the plant.
Okay.
The plant had different areas like A, B, C, D, so on and so forth. Down the line, which maybe, I can't remember now which was which, but for example, maybe Area K was where they worked on the landmines, and L was the fuses, but they had different types of shells, and everybody parked in a huge parking lot and then got on a bus and went to the different areas
mm-hmm.
that you were assigned to, and we all wore coveralls, little striped seersucker coveralls. And I remember when I was transferred to Area H, the inspectors got to wear culottes, which we thought was great. We didn't have to wear that. We didn't have to wear those overalls anymore because Louisiana is very hot and nothing was air conditioned
uh-huh.
then.
How did the United States entering the war directly affect your family?
Well, I don't have any brothers and sisters, so. And my husband didn't have any brothers, so it didn't affect them in as much as somebody went to service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, everything was rationed.
Mm-hmm.
And you had ration books and stamps to get various things. I know I used to trade sugar stamps for shoe stamps.
For shoe stamps?
Yes, and they were hardly worth it. The shoes fell apart. they were made out of, no make any difference what you paid for them, they were made out of real cheap leather,
mm-hmm.
I think, or some kind of material.
Mm-hmm.
And they fell apart very quickly.
Well, how did the government issue these stamps?
Well, let's see. I guess the ration board sent them out. I still have two ration books.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
What about gasoline? Was that also
well,
ration?
Well, we didn't have any trouble getting gasoline. There wasn't that big a shortage, really. And if you worked in an ordnance plant, you had plenty of gas to go back and forth.
Okay.
Really.
Now, you say you got your job at that plant in 43.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did that have anything to do, you're getting the job, did that have anything to do with the shortage of men in the United States?
Oh, I suppose, yes, there were a lot of, I never worked in a plant before, and it was different. It was a different job.
How's that?
And there were lots of women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were more, well, yes, there were. I think there was a man who was a supervisor of each area, but other than that, just about everybody else was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, husbands were overseas.
Were you restricted in the things that you talked about in the plant or outside of work?
No. Mm-mm. No, there wasn't anything secret where I worked.
Okay.
There wasn't, No, I don't remember any of that. They had a guard shack that you checked in through there, but I don't remember anything like that at all. I do remember in one area where I was, where I checked fuses through a gauge. Actually, you didn't have to think because you just pushed these through as fast as you could, and if they weren't rejects, they went right on through, and if they were rejects, they either caught on the side or in the top, so
mm-hmm.
you didn't really have to look. And I do remember several times there would be, which you noticed, of course, because everybody had coveralls on, so if you saw somebody in street clothes come in, you did notice that. Every once in a while, there would be two men come in, and one on each side of somebody across from me, and this person would get up and leave with them. And I didn't know until after the war, what, four years later, why that was. Apparently, they were spies. I didn't know it. I just
people in the plant.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Huh.
But I didn't know it at the time. Nobody said anything, and I never thought to ask. I just supposed they went to the office for something. I didn't notice that they didn't come back.
Huh.
So, you know, they were there, whether you knew it or not.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was scary afterwards when I thought about it.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
What dangers were there on this plane?
Well, for instance, when I was in the area where they assembled hand grenades, we were told there was a big barricade the other side of the long table where we worked. We all sat in a row and they passed it on down, and I was next to the last. I inspected it, and the person on my left put it in the box and put it on the conveyor belt, and that was the end of that until it was taped after it got off the conveyor belt. I think it was taped after it got off. I can't remember what it was before or after.
Mm-hmm.
But they told us that if you pulled the pin, you had 5 seconds before they went off. And there are hand grenades that have a different timing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones we worked on had 5 seconds. So that if you thought they were going to go off, you should throw it in the barricade. And one day somebody did think it was going to go off. Fortunately, it didn't. But I thought, well, I won't get up and run out of here. But then when I saw the supervisor jump over the conveyor belt, then I thought, maybe I better go too. So I think I was the last one coming back in. Fortunately, nothing did happen. However, there were some accidents there, sorry to say. In the crimping machine where these shells were, they were 75 millimeter shells. And the crimping machine does just what it sounds like, crimps the shell together.
Mm-hmm.
And they did have an explosion in there, and several girls were killed. Then on the bombs they made, what's they call them, mortar shells, anyway, they hammered on those with a hammer once too often, and they had a bad explosion because of that. So it was, you did have rules to go by,
for your own safety and everybody else's. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people just get careless. They think nothing happens, so nothing's going to happen. But it can, it could, mm-hmm. and it did.
Were there any restrictions on what you were allowed to wear?
Yes, you had to wear those coveralls, and I can't remember about the shoes. I had some kind of moccasins. I can't remember what I wore. And then we had a scarf in one area where your fingers turned yellow from the powder. So we had a scarf you put on your hair that had an ordnance symbol on it. I still have one in some place. Mm-hmm. And your hands, your fingers did turn yellow, and if you fool with your hair, it turned yellow too. A terrible yellow.
Well, were you allowed to wear something like hairspray? Or satin?
Gee, I don't think we had much hairspray then, only when you went to a shop.
Oh, okay.
No, I missed that. I think we didn't have very much hairspray. I can't remember. If we did, it had to be lacquer. So, I suppose I used it.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reason for it being lacquer?
I don't know. I think that's all you could get then.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have the selection then that you do now.
Okay. All right.
It was terrible, as a matter of fact. I think there were between 10 or 11,000 that worked there at the mm-hmm. time. The plant's still going. I don't know what it does now, really. I haven't been to Louisiana since 45.
What'd you talk about? You talk about the war?
Oh, yes. You thought everything would be wonderful if only the war was over.
Uh-huh.
Everything else would be. That was the main thing. Just get the war over with and everybody come home. That was on everybody's mind. You didn't think you'd have any other problems.
Mm-hmm. What were your greatest fears at this time?
Well, I didn't think about being bombed or anything like that. I didn't think about anybody kind of coming over here. Of course, there was quite a feeling against anyone with a German name. It was a hotel in Chicago, and I can't remember. I've stayed there, and I can't remember the name of it. But during the war, they changed it to Clark.
Oh, really?
Because it had German. Because it had a German name. It all seems crazy now. And then there were Japanese Americans interned,
mm-hmm.
and which they, in most cases, shouldn't have been, I feel, mm-hmm. at all. And their lands were taken away from them, and they never got them back.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of Japanese that fought for this country. Japanese Americans who mm-hmm. fought for this country and were decorated in spite of all this.
Mm-hmm.
So they really were unjustly gathered up.
At the time, how did you feel about the Japanese?
Well, naturally, I wasn't fond of them at the time because we were all led to believe it was all their fault.
Uh-huh.
But I've often wondered since, why were all those ships in one spot
mm-hmm.
instead of it was an awfully easy target
mm-hmm.
and it was terrible, terrible, tragic, the men that died there. See, they were all lined up in one spot. That's mm-hmm. sort of like putting all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this country was absolutely right in dropping the atomic bomb.
Oh, really?
I absolutely do.
Why is that?
Well, for one thing, it saved hundreds of thousands of Americans' lives. And there were hundreds of thousands of them killed just on one island,
mm-hmm.
let alone multiply that by all those islands in the South Pacific. And it did end the war as far as Japan was concerned. And I thought President Truman was absolutely right in what he did under those circumstances. And we all felt that way.
Okay. Very interesting. With the rationings, do you remember anything about blackouts or air raid drills? Did you have anything
well,
like that?
Well, before we left Florida, yes, they had blackouts down there because it was right on the coast, and you had blackout curtains and painted half of your headlights black.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hear the ships, supply ships, being shelled because the Germans, there was never anything in the paper about it, of course, but the Germans would silhouette the tankers against the sky, you know, it was bright, moonlight, and would fire on their ships and the hospital. I know I had a friend who was a nurse up there. The hospital would be full of men that they had rescued, burned victims and whatnot, that they had rescued and brought to the hospital. But you never read anything in the paper about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. Well, they just didn't publicize it. You know.
So you're saying the German planes actually?
No,
did
the submarines.
Submarines?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The merchants.
German submarines,
yes.
Attack our.
Yes, right off the coast of Florida. Absolutely.
That is very interesting.
Yes,
I never heard
you'd
that
hear
before.
It too. No, that's right. You didn't read it in the paper. But I lived there and we all heard it and we all knew what it was. So that was scary. That was as close as you'd want to be.
I guess so.
And then some. But where I was in Louisiana, they didn't have any blackout or anything. We were too far inland.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they did in New Orleans and places along the coast.
Did they ever think there was danger that since you're working on a defense plan, it might be bombed?
No, I never thought of it, really. Well, there were too many other things that would have been better targets than that,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Uh-huh.
Probably.
Like what?
Oh, well, something handy on the coast. They wouldn't
okay.
have to come so far inland. I just never thought of it happening,
uh-huh.
you know.
Okay. What did you do for entertainment during the war?
Oh, well, we still had big bands then,
mm-hmm.
and which was lovely. Now, that part was a lovely era. So there were a lot of big bands to go listen to and to dance. And this was a little bitty town, about 8,000 people, I guess, and they had three theaters. So by the time you went to the third theater, the movies at the first one had changed, so you could really go, you could go as much as you wanted to. And, there was always something to do.
Okay.
You know? And Shreveport was a great town, beautiful town, wonderful town to shop in. Lots of good places to eat. And we had friends who were in the service that were stationed in Oklahoma who would come and visit. And so, well, of course, when you worked, that kept you pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. So your husband was never called up into
mm-hmm.
the service?
No.
Was that because of his job?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember how the town of Shreveport showed support for the war?
Well, I wasn't in Shreveport all that much. I was in Minden. It's just a little bitty town, 30 miles from Shreveport.
Okay.
30 miles east, actually. But Barksdale Field was in Shreveport, and it was a big place. And there were an awful lot of service people there and families stationed there.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't anything like that in Minden, but Barksdale Field was pretty well known.
Barksdale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking of is during the Gulf War, you know, we had yellow ribbons out showing support to our servicemen. We had rallies. Was there anything like that went on during World War II?
Oh, they had war bond rallies and
uh-huh. what were those
that sort of thing, to sell war bonds and stamps, and everybody bought them, and you bought them where you worked, and everybody I knew bought them.
What did they cost?
War bonds.
What did they cost?
Oh, what did they cost? Uh-huh. $25.
And what was the sales pitch, I guess?
Well, let me see. I don't know, unless we just helped the war effort. I can't remember.
When would you cash it in?
Oh, years later. Years later.
Is there anything else that went on with that plant that you can remember that?
Well, let me see. We had, I did have sort of an interesting experience. I had a whole tray of rejects disappear. And when you had rejects, they were supposed to go to, I can't remember what it was called. It was a little department where they worked on them, see if they could be salvaged. Mm-hmm. If not, they were supposed to be discarded.
Okay.
So in this one area where I worked, it would seem that every time if I left for any reason, when I came back, the rejects that I had there were gone, and I couldn't find out where they were. And that did upset me.
Weren't you responsible for those?
Yes.
What?
So I reported it in every place I knew to report it to. And reported to my boss, and so I found this out after the war. I met a friend who worked for ordnance, and she was an inspector for ordnance where I was an inspector for the company.
Mm-hmm.
So then she told me that it took the government to come down to the line in the middle of the night and make them unpack the box cars and go through them all and check for any rejects they had that had somehow gotten
so they were
out
packing,
of there.
They're packing them anywhere. My goodness.
So they unloaded them and discarded what didn't work. Well, it really did upset me.
What could have happened?
Upsets me.
What could have happened with those rejects?
Well, you put a reject, a shell that doesn't work, and somebody's life depending on that shell. And they have a dud. That's all. The shell doesn't work.
Why would they do that?
Oh, so they would get a certain quota out.
Ah, okay. And money depends on
I've never
on
gotten
quota.
Over that.
Huh.
It isn't right.
Money
and
depends
sure.
on quota?
Hmm?
Money depends on quota?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when they say it's the root of all evil, must be something to it.
Did they ever find out exactly who was doing that?
I never heard. Never heard. But I was happy to know that they made them unload the boxcars.
Oh. Okay.
So I like to think that they found all of them
uh-huh.
that didn't work.
Okay, that's very interesting.
It's very scary.
You talked a little bit about the attitude of people toward Japanese and German Americans. Did you know any? Or
no. No, I didn't. I didn't know any Japanese at all. Well, I didn't know any Germans that I think of. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember a nice German lady that held me down so I could take castor oil. That's the only German I knew.
I'm going to read some names
here. It's amazing
here.
How things have turned out, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. I'm going to give you some names,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I'd like to know what your impressions of these people were.
Okay.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Well, I think we needed him at the time he was president. This country was in terrible shape, and there were many people out of work. Hadn't been for the war, I suppose they'd still be out of work.
Mm-hmm.
They would for a long time.
I think he did do a lot of good. Of course, I remember he did say that your boys won't go to war, and the boys did go to war.
Had you talked with anybody about whether or not...
I voted for him. That's the first time I ever voted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you and your friends feel at the time that he was aware that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked?
Not at the time. Since then, yes.
Okay.
Not at the time.
Dwight Eisenhower.
Well, not one of my favorite presidents, really. Even one of the things I didn't like about him, he walked through the White House in his golf shoes. I think you should have more respect for the White House than that.
What about as a general during the war?
Oh, I think he took orders just like everybody else. I don't think he was... I think George Patton was 10 times smarter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, tell me about your impression of Patton.
Well, if you ever talk to any men that served under him, they'll tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was an accident when he was killed. I don't think that was an accident. I think the war would have been over sooner with Germany if Patton had been allowed to go into Russia. I just think he was a smart man.
Okay. What about Douglas MacArthur?
No, I didn't care for MacArthur either. I thought he was... You know why I didn't care for MacArthur? I'll tell you. Because I thought it was terrible when all those men were left behind and the nurses were left behind and he was taken out of there. That I could understand, but I think he should have had to leave his furniture and personal belongings behind. I didn't think that was right. To be able to get all your furniture and everything like that, and here these people were left behind at the mercy of the Japanese.
You're talking about the Philippines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like that. I think he was a good military man as far as that goes. Egotistical. A little like, what's his name? George Custer.
Okay.
No, I didn't think he should be going to gather up all his possessions when these people had to stay back there with nothing.
Winston Churchill.
Oh, yes, I admired him. Yes, I thought he was a good man. Probably one of the best England's had.
Okay. Adolf Hitler.
Well, of course, I think he was a madman, an absolute madman. But I really feel that Germany would do the same thing again if anybody came along that mesmerized people like he did. Mm-hmm. Scary, very terrible, the things he did. Terrible.
Were there any Nazi supporters here in the United States?
Any what?
Nazis or Nazi supporters?
Oh, I suppose, yes, I'm sure they were. You know that girl I told you about? They went back just about the time Hitler came to power. They left this country. I've always wondered if she was in that youth group.
The German group?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
She was certainly strong enough to be. But yes, they used to have meetings. I remember in the newsreel they had a meeting in Madison Square Garden, and people that objected to it, they were arrested. The police arrested them.
But what happened to them after the war?
I don't know. I always wondered what happened to those girls that I saw all of a sudden leaving that I didn't know why at the time.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's something I don't think any of us thought about, or nobody that I worked with thought about. Somehow a spy, you thought of that as something overseas.
Uh-huh.
You just didn't think about them being around where you were working, and yet now, why wouldn't they have been? But at the time, you didn't think mm-hmm. that. Never occurred to you. It never occurred to me that that's why that girl is leaving with these two men in suits.
Was there ever any case where someone was unjustly accused of being a spy?
Not to my knowledge, no. I'm thinking not that I ever heard of.
Were you aware at any time during the war of the persecution of the Jews in Germany, in Europe?
Oh, yes. Yes. we had real good friends who, their name was Knapsiger. And they were friends of my mother and dad, and they had a boy my age, and he was from Austria, and she was from Belgium, and they lived in Austria, and they were refugees and walked clear across to Holland and escaped that way, and when they came to the United States, they just didn't have anything. And they were from a wealthy family. He was an engineer, and he didn't have any trouble, you know, going into the field again. And yes, they had a terrible time during the war.
Were they Jewish refugees?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did
they came over here? I'm trying to think. I think it was about 1932 or 33
mm-hmm.
when they came to the United States.
Had you seen anything on the newsreels about the persecution of the Jews?
Yes, I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did. We had newsreels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
What do you remember about VE Day?
Oh, well, let's see. Everybody, of course, celebrated and tickled to death and expected everybody to come home right now. You know, hopefully, everybody would be back home. Really, that was on everybody's mind. If the war was just over, everything would be, there would be no problems of any sort. Just let the war get over. That's all you could think of, really.
Do you remember how you heard the news that Germany had surrendered?
I was at work.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they called a big meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody clapped and cheered. And so they said, one down, one to go.
Huh.
Just Japan left. Hmm. Wasn't that right? Was Japan first or was it Germany first? Now I forget myself.
What about VJ Day then? And you heard that Japan had surrendered.
Well, the same thing, but I wasn't working then. I think, let's see, I can't remember whether Germany was first. I can't remember which it was.
Well, Germany surrendered.
It was Germany first.
Yeah, Germany surrendered in May.
No, I was at work then, but I didn't work when I wasn't working when Japan surrendered.
Why had you quit?
Let's see. Oh, I know why I quit now. My mother was sick and I came home.
Uh-huh.
And I was here 6 weeks.
Okay.
Uh-huh, and I couldn't get a leave of absence that long. So I just didn't go back.
Oh, okay.
I didn't go back to work, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Louisiana.
You say that you did support Truman's decision
mm-hmm.
not to
yes,
drop the atomic bomb.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I still do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it saved hundreds of thousands of American boys' lives. I sure do.
Is there anything else that stands out in your memory concerning the war?
I can't think of any. I guess, well, you knew there were so many people worse off than you were. You didn't really have any big problems, I think, because you knew there were a lot of people did have mm-hmm. that were over there. That's mainly what you thought of. The war would just be over. Mm-hmm. That was the main thing. Of course, I think now, any time you can use sanctions to avoid war, you should.
Uh-huh.
I think you can force countries to do many things with sanctions and save a lot of lives in the meantime. And then there's always the refugees,
mm-hmm.
which I think is tragic.
Did you know anybody who was outspoken against the war?
Not that war, no. Not that war.
Okay.
No. I didn't hear anybody mm-hmm. think it was anything but right that we should be in it.
Do you remember any comments concerning the invasion of Normandy?
since the war, but not at the time, mm-hmm. I can remember. There were an awful lot of men killed in that invasion. Terrible. There really were. I don't know how it could have been something done differently.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't against the invasion. It just seemed like there were so many, just that terrible expression, gun fodder.
What did that mean?
Just swept in. Well, they were just mowed down.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have enough air power, I guess, or beforehand, or the ships. Same thing happened in some of those islands in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have what you'd call backup to send that they should have had before they sent the men in. Because
mm-hmm.
it was terrible. It was terrible. We have friends that were in the Pacific, and it was unbelievable what they went through. Just terrible what they went through. So I think if any way possible war can be avoided, really, in a sense, there just are no winners.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything else that the United States did or the people did to try to show support to the boys that were overseas?
Well, we didn't have any yellow ribbons or whatnot, but I think everybody, people volunteered to make bandages and knit sweaters and send mm-hmm. boxes to servicemen, and everybody I knew backed them up 100%. Well, I think you always back the men up that have to go.
Mm-hmm.
You may not agree with governments and decisions made, but once the men have to go, you certainly back them up.
You talked about, well, you didn't talk about this, but there were supposed to be victory gardens during World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything like that in World War II?
Yes. I didn't happen to live where I had enough ground for a victory garden, but I know a lot of people did have.
Can you tell me exactly what a victory garden was?
Well, they just grew all, it's just like a nice little garden. You grow all the vegetables and things you can, and which I think, I love to do. I love to garden anyway, if you have space to do it.
Well, now, is the garden for you, or is it for somebody else? I don't understand why they call it a victory garden.
Well, let me think. I don't know exactly why they called it a victory garden either. Why did they call it a victory garden? Do you remember?
That thing on?
Mm-hmm.
I won't be on it. Because the people grew their own vegetables.
Yes.
That helped the war effort, that helped supply food. Made that much more food for the service man.
Oh, I guess that would be it, I suppose. And there would be more food to the service man if you grew your own. They would have more for them. I suppose that was it. You know, I just can't remember.
And the allies.
Hmm?
And the allies.
So if you ate your own vegetables, then the government what the government produced would go.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to can as many. Of course, you know, they needed that metal.
Uh-huh.
And they needed the tin, and so they wouldn't have to produce as many for civilians, I suppose, and have more for the service men.
Was there any recycling going on?
Yes, people saved tin foil and they turned their tires in, and I don't know what they did with them after they turned them in. But you turned them in anyway. Well, you thought you were doing something to help, you know. You wanted to do what you could to help, whatever it was, or as much as you could, to feel like you were contributing something.
Other than the men being at war, what changed the most in your lifestyle?
After the war, you mean?
No, during the war.
Oh, during
other
the war?
Than the fact that the soldiers were often concerned about
West Virginia
the war.
War again broadcast, do you know?
I guess I'm saying what changed or what was taken away that you missed the most during the war?
What station did they be on here?
I mean, your everyday life had to change.
Okay.
Oh, well, this sounds frivolous as can be to say, but I couldn't buy as many stockings as I wanted.
Okay.
You didn't know the right people.
Yeah, I didn't know the right people. That was the reason.
Okay.
That's true in about...
In Australia, South Asia, black market?
Uh-huh. Well, yes, that's true. Anyway, I hated not having stockings. I kept them in a glass jar. And if you had a run in one pair, one stocking, then you used the other one, and you dyed it with tea to make a match.
With tea?
Yeah, then they matched that way. Oh, my. Well, that was really a small thing, but that was a big thing to me then. And the stockings you bought were atrocious. They just hung like a sack, and especially around the ankles. And if you had sling pumps, then that helped keep that in. Otherwise, they looked dreadful.
Just a second here. Okay, you were telling me about the shortage of stockings and the shortage of clothes. The clothes were...
Oh, the clothes were, they were skimpy and the dyes were terrible. They faded out. If you had gas heat, the colors went funny. And especially if you liked blue, which I did, and then you ended up with something, a cross between lavender and a sick pink, I think. Because the gas heat had some sort of effect on it. And yes, you couldn't, if you knew the right people, yes, you could get anything. That's true. That's true right today. If you know the right people, you can get anything. Gasoline, you could get gasoline, you could get tires, you could... Senators did. They did. There was a place in Maryland, they came to get their gasoline, and they sent a truck and gallon drums, and they got tires. They didn't do without anything, when they're still not doing without anything. That's the reason people don't have much respect for the Senate, for Congress.
Do you know where that was in Maryland?
Hmm?
Do you know where that was?
Mm-mm. No, I don't really. I would tell you if I did, but I don't. Now, I didn't know that until after the war, because I was just like a lot of sheep. I thought there really was a shortage of these things. That's what you were led to believe. And we had sea ration because you worked at an ordnance plant, so you had plenty of gas to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't take a long trip. I know people that did, and like I said, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Okay.
And that hasn't changed in 1991.
Okay, any other events or things that you might remember?
No, not really. I love the people there in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's the hottest place I've ever lived. But the people were great. Mm-hmm. I like the people every place I've ever lived. I've lived in about a half a dozen different states. And other than Utah, I like the people everywhere. Maybe I didn't like the climate.
What about when the boys came home?
Well, let's see, where was I? Well, I left there in November of 45, and we had friends in Florida, and mainly in Florida, mm-hmm. that came home. Some served overseas, some didn't. Oh, I'll tell you a little piece of news you might not know. When MacArthur, in the newsreel, when he came through the water and said, "I will return," remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had to get him, let's see, I forget how many uniforms he wore to make that film, 3 or 4, until he got it just, until he got it just exactly the way he wanted. That was all set. We didn't know any of that. We didn't know that. We thought that was spontaneous, but it wasn't. Raising the flag over there wasn't spontaneous. That wasn't the way that was raised.
Uh-huh.
That was all for the newsreel.
Uh-huh.
Which looks great, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
But I mean, we didn't know that, see? We thought it was all done just like that. I found that out from a serviceman, 2 servicemen, one in each theater.
Oh, really?
Of war. Mm-hmm. And they were both there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell you a lot. Just like I said with Patton, those that served under Patton had a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
Well, I can't think of anything else.
I can't either. I've often wondered, all those boys that died, especially in the Pacific, what they would think if they could come back now and see that this country is overrun by Japanese ownership. If the Japanese have bought up hundreds of thousands of acres of land in this mm-hmm. country, all kinds of buildings, and make better cars than the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they would think that all this was in vain. They do make better cars. There isn't any doubt of that. You ever read any of Vance Packard's books?
No.
They're worth reading. I first got them in the 50s. That's when the first ones that I got of his. And one's called Waste Makers. And it's true. Things are only made to last so long. That's true. I bet you don't believe that.
Well, sometimes.
Well, years ago, when they made Maytag, they used to last 25 years from one generation to another, and people had carpeting in their homes, and they passed on from one generation to another. Now they're guaranteed for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. But you see, if you don't make things to wear out, then nobody ever buys anything new. It's a cycle.
Well, if you don't have anything else to add, I'm going to close this interview.
Well, thank you.
Well, I thank you very much. I appreciate it. And this concludes my interview with Amber Jenkins on World War II, the home front.